Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh! Dodson! Dodson! We've got Dodson here!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
All we had to do was follow the damn train, CJ.
It was me all along, Austin.
No! No!
You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop culture nostalgia podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Alvarez. And who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell, your co-host.
So we're back from our week vacation. We're sort of healing from... healing, that's a weird thing to say, but... We're recovering, I guess, from Long Beach Comic Expo. Mm-hmm. That went pretty smooth. We were on two panels.
Thanks to the guests who joined us.
Yes, Emiliano and Rethink.
Yes.
So that happened, and now we're back. And
And thanks to everyone who showed up.
Yeah.
If you decided to listen in on this podcast.
Yeah. So to those who showed up to the panels, we thank you a lot. And hopefully you'll see us on more panels in the coming year. But aside from that, small announcement. We're now selling hats on podbrothers.com. So if you want to get a nice hat or even a beanie, head to podbrothers.com for that. And if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. Yeah, so I guess we should just start the show.
Disney's Disneyland.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Each week as you enter this timeless land, one of these many worlds will open to you. Frontierland. Tall tales and true from the legendary past. Tomorrowland, promise of things to come. Adventureland, the wonder world of nature's own realm. Fantasyland, the happiest kingdom of them all. Presenting this week, the Disneyland Story.
But we're talking about the original.
The OG, the old school, the classic.
Where it all began. One man's dream.
Yes.
That sort of deal. Disneyland in Anaheim, California.
Yep, opened July 17th,
1955. That was a long time ago.
Yep, 61 years ago.
Oh, that's scary.
It is scary.
It's been around for quite a bit. Disneyland, I guess you could say it sprung up out of the Depression era because... all the cartoons that were being made and Walt, I mean, there's a whole episode that could be done on him himself and Disney cartoons, Disney animation, but
which we will do.
This is about like Park, the world of
the wonderful world.
Yes. This world, Disney. This world of magic. So what do you have to tell me about this place?
I mean, okay. So like I have a lot of personal history with this place, and I think you do too.
I do.
It's a place that I've been brought to for years and years, because my uncle used to work for like a Disney subsidiary or something like that. Then their thing got bought out, and then he couldn't take me for free anymore. But I felt special and privileged for being able to go and, you know, hear about certain, you know, backstage things and all that. He got to be Baloo for, you know, a day and all that.
Really?
Yeah, he actually got to do that.
It's interesting because a lot of people listening probably, I mean, there's a majority of people, because, okay, we live in SoCal.
Yeah, Disneyland has kind of been, it's not as special as to some people.
Well, because we not only live in SoCal, we live relatively close to Anaheim.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how far we are from the Orange County.
Is it 10 miles? Is it 10 miles? No, it's not 10 miles.
Disneyland or the Orange County?
Well, no, Disneyland. It's not that
far. It's like 10 to 15
miles. It's not that far away from us.
It's a 20-minute drive.
So we kind of grew... We grew up with Disney culture sort of instilled in us, be it through people who work there. But living out here, you kind of always have known someone like who either worked at Disneyland or in some capacity had something related to the parks.
Yeah.
It was just, like, in high school, there was always, like, that one, like, someone who, like, they got their first job at Disneyland. So, it's nothing new to us, and that's the thing. Like, for a majority of Americans, like, even Californians, like, who are a little up north or, like,
yeah,
a little
it's southern, more southern. Very special kind of...
It is due to something extraordinary and special. And to me, it's still special, but...
But it, there's, like, the magic isn't as there to me. It's just...
Well,
it's
because, with us...
it's exposure.
We have this ability to, like, complain about things.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, the line's so long. But if you're flying in from, like, Idaho or something...
you don't care. You're,
like, if you're from your own private Idaho, you're coming in there. And you're like, line's 40 minutes? What's to complain about that?
Growing up like a wild potato.
Whereas we're like, 40-minute lines? This is bullshit. And it's like, we kind of have no reason to complain. But we do. I mean, it's just, it's a thing.
We've just become exposed and accustomed to Disneyland, and
we
want it to be a simple experience, but it normally isn't anymore. I think the interesting thing with me is you always get different, like, groups of people that like to go to Disneyland. You have the people who just go casually.
But there's such a wide array of types of people who go to Disneyland. SoCal in general, there are, like, fanatics. Because if you live close to the park, and there are people who live closer than we do, they're absolutely fanatical about it to the point where they're there almost every day.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are pin traders.
Yeah.
You will see them with their jackets.
Yes, or their lanyards.
Well, usually they have, like, a cut-off sleeve jacket.
Yes.
Like a vest jacket.
Yeah.
Like they're about to go to NAMM. But they got pins everywhere, and then they got a bunch of lanyards on top of those, and...
Yeah, my uncle used to be... Like, he still has his collection, but he wasn't, like, dressed up like that. He was, like, more subtle about it.
Well,
he
just, that's before it became official by Disney, because before, it was kind of like a fan thing. Like, fans would trade their pins with other fans.
Although, I think I remember when he was doing it, the employees were required to trade.
That's when Disney took note. Because here's the cool thing about Disneyland is, like, when they notice, like, certain subcultures are sort of building around, like, the park.
They tend to capitalize.
They accommodate. Yeah. And they accommodate them. Yeah. Like the pin thing, when they got popular enough, all of a sudden it's like, you know, let's open up pin trading stations. So if you bring your pins, like, you can trade them with one of the employees who has a set number of pins. And sometimes there's specials where it's like, this is the pin of the day. It's like, so you trade them. But they've done this with multiple things. Like, Dapper Day is a thing that... Again, it started out, fans came to the park, and it's like a grouping of fans that came dressed, like, in, like, 1930s, like, 1940s sort of fashions.
Yeah, the gay 30s,
as I said earlier. But then the parks now officially sponsor these days.
Yeah, but they have, like, goth days and gay days.
Yeah,
and,
they have all these, like...
I don't mean gay 30 days.
No. But they have all these cool little things that they can accommodate for. And it's cool because you'd have other parks that they'd be like, no, we're enforcing our code. You can't do this. It's like, you're coming into our place and you're bringing your type of shit here.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Disney tries to make an effort almost to, like, make you as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Which is cool.
That really is built into the DNA of what the park started as. I mean, so let's kind of go back to the beginning. It was an interesting idea because there was a park in somewhere in Europe, in like Northern Europe, mm-hmm. that Walt was inspired by. Forget the name of it right now, but it was essentially a something gardens. It was like this giant, massive, like, sprawling land full of, like, like, lawn sculpture type hedges and stuff. But there's also rides, there's merry-go-rounds, there was, like, had, like, sort of, like, a Dutch Bavarian feel, which...
You can see that
in Fantasyland.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of that in the DNA of Fantasyland. But there was, like, this big emphasis on fairy tales and lights, and one of the hallmarks of that place is that... And it's kind of cool, I just learned this. So, when the sun is going down on Main Street, there's trees near the main central hub where the statue of Walt is.
Yeah.
And you'll notice those trees, as soon as the sun starts going down, lights start to flicker through the trees. That is the only thing he took directly from that park.
Oh.
Is he wanted that kept there to remind him of where he got the inspiration from. So when you see the lights like filled with the trees filled with lights, it's like that's from
that park.
Yeah.
Has that statue always been there, by the way, or was that after he passed?
I believe that was after he passed.
Okay, because that seems a little self-aggrandizing, I think. But no, yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, you fucking do that. You're Walt fucking Disney.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of cool things to talk about. Eventually, when we do our episode on Walt Disney, there's like how he wanted to essentially make a new society. And
We still need our Bill Finger episode, by the way.
What Epcot was supposed to be.
Oh.
Initially, Epcot was actually supposed to be mega cities that he was going to build all throughout America.
Yeah.
And so it was going to be separate from, like, it's weird.
Let's talk Tomorrowland.
Well, no. First, we have to set up what the hell Disneyland is.
It's like a theme park.
Well, no.
Slash,
it's a movie. Now, I know that sounds fucking insane, but okay. So the idea Walt had, so there's this giant orange grove in Southern California, in Anaheim. You know, at the time, that's pretty much Anaheim was. It was orange grove, it was random little businesses, but it was nothing. Cheap land. Bought it up, and Walt wanted to create was sort of that childhood experience of going to the movies, but in a theme park way. Because, okay, you have to remember, before Disneyland, theme parks were essentially like dirty carnivals.
Yeah.
Like, all the rides are kind of dingy and gross, and you've been to state fairs, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
you got your Ferris wheel, you got your mini roller coaster.
So Walt Disney, like, tested some stuff out, like, occasionally at, like, World's Fairs and stuff like that. And that and those gardens in Europe, like, really inspired him to actually, okay, well, I'm going to do this. But the movie experience thing, that's the interesting part. So you might not notice, but when you come to Disneyland, there's a few things. First is the ticket booths.
Yes.
They're very, how they're built is like old fashioned, like movie house ticket booths. Not the ticket takers, but the ticket booths. Like, they're these rectangle things. There's movie posters or coming attraction posters all over them. You pay for your tickets. Okay. Now you go through the ticket taker line. Again, it's like kind of that old fashioned thing.
That turn style
thing. Now, when you're, before you enter the official park, there's the area with the garden where you see Mickey's head and you see the train station. And the two entrances. Now, the floor...
Such a nostalgia for walking through those, like, tunnel things.
Well, here's the cool thing. So, the floor, the bricks, they're everything is... And it's crazy reading into this. When the park was built, everything was done intentionally. Everything. So, the bricks are this hue of red that were chosen to sort of replicate almost a red carpet in the theater lobby.
Okay.
So you're going in, and again, it's still part of the normal world of Anaheim, of California. But here's the cool thing. So as soon as you start heading towards the tunnels, you look up, there's a sign, and the sign reads, here you leave today and enter the world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy.
Yes.
Okay, those iconic words.
And Toontown.
And Toontown, and New Orleans Square. But you do that, and then the tunnels you're talking about. So on both sides of the tunnels and on the tunnel walls.
Do you go left or right when you get in?
I usually go left.
Yes.
Because I like entering towards Town Hall.
Yeah.
The firehouse is on the other, and that's Walt's office where it was. But yeah, I like entering the Town Hall area just feels cooler. I don't know.
It does.
But here's the thing. How that tunnel is structurally built, it's meant to dampen sound. It's done on it like on purpose.
See, that's crazy.
And so on the tunnel walls is like movie posters for the rides. So it's like when you're going to a movie theater, there's always movie posters. Like,
yeah.
Sound, okay, as you enter, sound is dampened. And you can only hear yourself talk and your friends or whatever and your family. As soon as you cross the threshold, music hits you. Like, subtle.
You know what? That's weird. I never noticed that.
Subtle music of Main Street hits you. the vents that are along the walls, floors, different areas of that vanilla scent hit you also. You've just entered, you're no longer in the normal world. Yeah. Now you're in like this magical, like, main street of like the late 1800s.
Yeah, it's like a Hello Dolly kind of thing.
It's the time in which not Walt grew up, but the era a little bit before him that he was in, like, he thought was amazing. It's like how
It's like how you like the 50s and all that.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I love, well, not the 50s, like the 40s.
40s, yeah.
That's why I love Buena Vista Street in California Adventure.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Oh, the Hollywood area?
Yeah.
That place.
Well, no.
The entrance.
Now it is, like the Oswald stuff. And yeah. Like, so it's like, if I created a theme park, I would do it based on my love for that part of the past. Walt did the same thing, but for his love of that part of the past.
Yeah.
And so you enter this old-fashioned sort of Main Street thing, and here's the cool thing.
Pickles.
No, not pickles. The cool thing is, movies back then, where were the credits? In the beginning, yeah, right?
And then you watch the whole movie.
Here's the cool thing. When you're walking down Main Street, you're in the credits.
Yeah.
All along the buildings on every window are the credits of the people who created the park. You're going down Main Street.
All right.
This is the pre-show entertainment. This is you're not really in true Disneyland yet. You're in like, you're getting comfortable. This is
the prologue, yeah.
Yeah, this is like, look, there's some places to eat. There's like, get yourself comfortable.
Let's go to the lobby, that whole business.
And you're being introduced to the credits. The credits are happening. This is the establishing shot. This is everything. And then finally you get to the hub. At the hub, there are four different places to go. You have Tomorrowland on the right, on the very far right. Okay, after Tomorrowland, you have Fantasyland, which is
straight ahead.
Technically straight, but also a little bit, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, you get what I mean. And then you have Adventureland and Frontierland. You have your choice of what movie experience you want to go to. What do you want to catch a Western? Mm-hmm. Do you want to like go to the jungles and the safari? Do you want to go to the future? Yeah. Do you want to visit like the world of fantasy?
Yeah. Where do you go first?
I go to Fantasyland.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always been an Adventureland person.
I don't know what it is, but I feel like.
You gotta walk through the castle.
If you don't, yeah, I feel like it's not truly a trip to Disneyland if you don't walk through that castle
first.
That's
so weird, because you know what? For the longest time, I rarely ever went through that thing.
It's like.
And the last time I went was with you and your girlfriend and a friend of ours, and I'd never been through that actual castle like that.
Yeah.
That little. There's like a weird, like, picture walking thing.
Yeah, like, it's the arch and everything, yeah.
Yeah. I'd never actually went through that. Weird little amusement aspect.
Oh, you mean the
story time thing where you walk through the
actual Sleeping Beauty, like,
yeah,
it's called the Sleeping Beauty Castle for a reason. Yeah, there's like a little miniature diorama thing in there.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't like kind of overlook that.
I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, the cool thing about Disneyland, and we can go on for episodes and episodes.
The cool thing about Disneyland is if you're even if you're not completely new to it, there's always something
to discover.
Yeah,
there's always something. Something secret, something that you just overlooked, something that was like, oh, wow, that's a thing.
Is the petting zoo still there, or did they get rid of that?
That's not there.
Okay. Tom Sawyer's Island used to be kind of cool to me. I used to like going
there. That is currently closed.
Yeah, and I don't think they're...
And that's for the next expansion, which we'll get into.
Okay.
So, but these were the...
There was a Civil War fort on that thing.
There was a lot of stuff that... There was teepees there. The American teepees and stuff, but... So originally it was these four lands. I know people can't count Main Street as a land, but that wasn't supposed to be considered one.
No.
It's just Main Street it's Main Street. It's like it's your entrance. It's the official entrance.
And there's no amusement aspect to it.
Yeah, there's cool little things like you see like barbershop quartets sometimes. You can get
food and or you could ride
shop and foods.
The buggy or whatever.
Yeah, it's meant to be like Main Street USA. It's like it's whatever. It's your way of getting very comfortable and acquainted with the fact that this isn't the normal world anymore. There's like a little movie house where you can watch Steamboat Willie,
and all the old
Disney cartoons, and they play on a loop constantly.
And they have like an old school like penny arcade.
Yeah, the biggest attraction on Main Street is probably the Mr. Lincoln one.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That's probably the biggest one, and I've gone that twice.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's pretty cool. I mean, they update every now and then, like the animatronics of it, but.
And you know what? That's what I appreciate is that they're always like updating their tech. Usually,
oh yeah, they're always trying to stay up to like, but there's a balance between updating and like replacing.
Yeah,
and they do a pretty good job at that. But when they go too far, the fans will let you know.
Yes. I think the Pirates of the Caribbean
is that's probably the biggest example. Yeah.
But and probably why they haven't done much
since.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So you have these four areas to go. Initially, there's these four areas to go to. And still to this day, one of the best things recommended to do is like stand in that hub, look at all four, yeah. and decide where to go. Because a lot of people do have that misconception of like,
there's a strategy you gotta
do. Like, no. Or they're just like, I'll just go through the castle and then, like, go from there to there. And it's like, you'll either tire yourself out doing it that way. Because, like, it's usually recommended by Disney super fans to, after you're done with the land, come back out the way you came in and then go to the next land. Because Disneyland has a habit of, when they're renovating something or working on something, they put up a giant wall.
And it's then, a green wall, usually.
And then you're like, how do I get out of here? Because that's the thing right now. Because of Star Wars Land, which is being built, say you're in Adventureland or Frontierland. There's kind of a big, giant wall, and you're like, how am I going to get to the next land?
Wait, so where is that going to be built?
Okay, so Tom Sawyer Island is shut off because it's being built behind Frontierland and Tom Sawyer Island. Like, off to the side. Like,
that's weird. I'm surprised. Are they going to try to connect Tomorrowland to that?
No.
Which makes sense because Star Wars is not in the future.
Yeah. No one knows what's going to happen to Star Tours, if it's going to be moved or not. There's rumors like that they're going to move it. Would I be okay with that? Yeah.
Yeah, because it would literally be... It doesn't make sense to me to not have that there.
As much as I love Star Wars, there's something with Tomorrowland that I want to get into when we start talking about Tomorrowland. Okay. So, anyways, that's the whole thing, the hub system, and then you go to wherever you want. And so, initially, when it started, there was those four specific lands, and the signage kind of like tells you that. But then,
you know what it reminds me of is Westworld, the original movie, the movie. Because it was like, okay, you get to the...
That's what Westworld, like... Yeah. Jim Crane sort of based off that idea.
You get to your main hub area, and then pick your world that you want to go to. You can go to Westworld, you can go to Medieval World or Rome World.
You also have to remember, when Disneyland started, everything was done on the ticket system.
Okay, so you had your e-tickets?
Yeah, so to go on rides, again, it was like... It was the old school way of, like, you know, fairs and, like, carnivals. Where
tickets were cheap, right?
Yeah, you buy a book of tickets,
yeah.
And the tickets are for specific rides and attractions. So for certain people, when they would come to Disneyland, they would only be like, well, no, let's just do Adventureland today. Or like, so they get a book of just Adventureland stuff. But then, of course, there's like the more varied options where you get a book full of like tickets. And so it was interesting. Like, there were people who could, you know, you could pick your own fantasy for the day, your own like, it's like, and when I say it like, how it was like enter a world of like the Wild West. It was how we see it today is a lot different how it was back then. Because back then, the idea of interaction was like huge, was larger. In Frontierland, there was like roving cowboys and like mules and donkeys and like there were Native Americans. There were bandits. Like, it was really like that Westworld idea.
Yeah.
It was like very interactive.
I remember the most interactive I ever thought was, I think I was just walking through there on my own once, and I literally just saw a gunfight happen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like, that was awesome. But I was like,
things happen a lot less. Back then, it was like, that was the big thing. I mean, there was like, there was trail tours and like all these crazy things. I get why it kind of stopped, because I mean, you want to focus more on your attractions and other things. Also, like, there was the what's it called? That Mexican restaurant. Casa de Zocalo, the one that's
there. Yeah.
That used to be the Frito-Lay. It was, like, a Frito-Lay cafe.
Oh.
That's where Doritos were invented.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. What happened was they would send, you know, tortillas and stuff, and, like, they'd send Fritos, of course. Peasants would walk around selling Fritos. That was a thing.
Okay.
But they'd send, like, you know, to the Frito-Lay cafe. And then at the end of the day, they'd be throwing away all these tortillas that weren't used until one of the cooks was like, why don't we just cut these up and just fry them with the leftover oil? And they're like, we can do this? And so, yeah. So they did that. Frito-Lay, the Frito company at the time before Lay's and all that, the merger happened, came and was like, what is going on here?
What's going on here?
For a while, Doritos were being made by another company, that the company that this guy invented, and eventually got bought out. But yeah, that's where the Doritos were invented. It's kind of interesting. And that's where Steve Martin was also invented.
What?
Steve Martin was created as a... No, it's a joke because every time Disneyland talks about celebrities that were there, it's always Steve Martin they talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Because he worked in the magic shop, but that he also likes to say that's where he honed his craft, was at the magic shop.
I mean, he could...
No, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool, but it's like, every time, it's always like, the one celebrity they always mention is Steve Martin. It's like...
Well, you know what? He's a safe, friendly celebrity to go for. I mean...
Kind of?
Well, I mean, can you think of many controversies he's had recently?
No, but I can think of, like, roles where it's like...
No, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, Steve Martin doesn't get into... He just did a lot of coke back in the day. But...
Everyone likes a coke.
But, okay. And coke is sold exclusively to Disneyland.
Yes. There's no Pepsi products.
No, there is not. Yeah.
Which kind of always made... That's also what reinforced... Well, coke is the real... The real drink.
Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, so they had all these cool interactive aspects. The donkey thing was kind of a... not a mistake, but it, like, went haywire a lot. Because, again, there's these wild animals.
Yeah,
And there's, like, trains, like, the Disney train going by and scaring them all the time.
And also, they're very stubborn animals. And yes. They won't move sometimes.
But like you said, there's a petting zoo. And then, of course, you know, you have Adventureland, which had a lot of the same aspects.
The Jungle Cruise is still a very popular thing.
It is. That wasn't one of the first, I think, introduced, though. That was a little bit later.
That's where you can get a Mickey pretzel with cheese.
Yes.
Which is good.
And then on top of that, you have Fantasyland, which completely looks different from how when it first started. Fantasyland, when it first started, the facades in the buildings were just like, looked like cardboard cutout facades.
Yeah.
Now they look... gorgeous. That was in the 80s. They did a complete renovation. And so what we know today as Fantasyland is considered new Fantasyland. There's a lot of older people who are like, it was better back when it just looked like circus tents. No, it wasn't. I'm sorry.
I love Fantasyland.
It's great.
It's like...
All those dark rides?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like... those are cool too, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like them. I'm not a big fan of Mr. Toad, but... I don't know why. It's just...
It is the best ride.
I think the issue was when we went. We waited like 30 minutes.
That's perfect.
No, that's not. Dude, not for Mr. Toad. Not for the time we got there.
Mr. Toad.
See, and this is the thing. It's like I'm complaining about a 30-minute wait. And, you know,
Mr. Toad is a ride I will wait for. It's just like
I won't.
I enjoy that ride. So I enjoy the aesthetics of it. You go to hell. It ends with you going to hell.
I thought you were just insulting me right now.
But yeah, there's a carousel. Everyone loves the carousel.
Yeah, the Sword in the Stone.
Yes.
Have you ever seen someone do that?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like, but
it's timed, isn't it?
The thing is, there's an event that happens that where every single day, but we always tend to miss it for some reason.
People go up to the sword and try to pull it out. And eventually someone will. I notice it's usually a kid.
They do it on purpose.
Which makes you think that they are looking at it. And I know there's cameras everywhere in that fucking place. Kid gets to be king for a day.
Yeah.
He has to uphold kingly. So it's not like you get to be an evil king who's mad with power. You have to be a responsible king. I love that.
But the Fantasyland is interesting because it's the most... And who would say this, but it's the most Disney part of the park.
Yeah, because it's got, like, Peter Pan, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
Pinocchio.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Toad.
Yes. Which I guess that covers
it's
Sleepy Hollow, kind of. No, not really.
It was that, they sold that as a two-for-one
deal.
But yeah. But it's got Dumbo.
Yes.
It's got, Casey Jr.?
That's Dumbo also.
Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
The boat ride.
Well, the boat ride is essentially has...
It's like
almost every property. And I find it weird that a lot of people don't really even know if the boat ride exists the Storybook Land.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little thing to do. It's just like you go through the whale's mouth and you see Cave of Wonders.
Yeah. Agrabah's there, too.
Speaking of rides no one knows really exist, by the way, the train's not working right now because they're renovating everything because... obviously you can't go around the whole park because of Star Wars Land being built.
The train's not working. That's one of the things I love to do is just ride
Here's
the train.
It's the secret attraction that a lot of people don't know about is the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Those horrible looking dinosaurs.
As a kid, I didn't care.
The T-Rex still looks like the old school T-Rex with the big giant back of the head.
It looks like the Fantasia T-Rex.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still fun, but right now that's under renovation, of course.
Well, it's weird because you start off normally like, okay, you're just like going through like a foresty area. Then yeah. It's like, oh, look, here's like Indians and here's the chief on his horse and you see like deer and stuff. And like, all right, this is getting kind of interesting.
You
see like there used to be like a burned out like house and all that.
There's a lot of crazy stuff. And the thing is a lot of people overlook it because it's like, I'm not going to go on the train. It's just a train.
Yeah. Then you get to the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay,
now,
cool.
See, now I want to go on it again, but you can't because it's until
and then
Star Wars Land opens.
You see fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So cool. I know you think they look shitty. I loved it.
I mean, that's the thing.
The only thing I don't like is that music because it's really fucking loud.
I think they look bad, but the thing is I'd still enjoy it. Yeah. It's like, but yeah, so there's that. And then, of course, you know, you have Tomorrowland. Now Tomorrowland is a land I love.
I know you do. You have a badge.
Yeah. Tomorrowland is and always has been my favorite land.
Did you like the movie?
Let's not talk about that creepy ass movie.
What's creepy about it?
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay,
you know what? I'll watch and then we'll discuss
it. It's creepy. It's George Clooney creeps the fuck out of me in that movie.
Oh, really?
There's a little girl involved and it's creepy.
Oh, that's not right.
You'll see it. I know what they were going for. They were trying to be sweet, but
Is it like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory
no,
thing?
No, no. Like, George Clooney is literally in love with a little girl robot.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
But the thing is, he was in love with her when he was a child. But
no,
they...
that's weird. Sorry. Sorry.
It's there's a scene where he holds her and it's like...
Nope.
You gotta watch it, if not for the aesthetics. Because, I mean, it's a cool-looking movie.
Yeah.
But, God, is the story fucking boring. There was so much I could do with it. Anyways, Tomorrowland... Is an interesting part of the park because it was...
That's always changing.
Kind of. Okay. So, that part of the park was supposed to be, or... It was the less thrilling part of the park for a lot of guests. Because remember, when it started, there was no Space Mountain. There was none of the things.
No Ric Flair.
Oh, damn it. It was essentially a lot of exhibits. It was like a World's Fair type situation.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, of course, like the... Those like the what's it called?
Carousel of Progress.
Not just that, but like the only really ride that was there was like it was the spaceship that you like that you go around and around.
Oh yeah,
which is now is on top of the pizza port, which they moved. Like that's the classic when they moved there. But anyways,
that's on top of wow. Okay.
That's the thing though. It was just a lot of exhibits, but the idea of Tomorrowland was that. We're going to show you progress. We're going to show you what the future's like.
Yeah.
And eventually they put in the People Mover, where this was a preview into what Epcot was going to be.
That's the weird, like, skybox thing, right?
No.
What's that thing?
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's the thing that went through the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
Wow. That, I forgot the name of those.
See, and I only know about that because when you go into Pizza Port, the main, dining hall is covered with, like, posters of, like, the old, like...
That's the Skyway.
The Skyway, okay. That, like, just these old, like, exhibits from Tomorrowland's
okay.
past.
So here's...
That aren't there anymore.
Here's the interesting thing. So, started out, Monsanto had the House of Tomorrow.
Okay. That's cool.
And it was this giant home thing, and it was like, here's what the House of the Future is going to be like.
Yeah.
Where's the past, and now it's the present, and let's look to the future. Like,
so,
that thing.
And there was a lot of exhibits showing here's what we can expect, here's what's going to happen. And
family that never ages.
It didn't really take off at first for people. That was kind of the least crowded part of the park, because you were like, there's no rides here. But as the space race became a thing... That's when Tomorrowland really came into its own, when they started incorporating a lot of, when the 60s hit.
Yeah.
That's when Tomorrowland exploded. All of a sudden, you have dudes on jetpacks. That becomes a thing, like jetpack testing.
UFOs.
Yes, those UFO rides that constantly broke down.
Yep.
But then you had the People Mover. The House of Tomorrow was replaced with what was it called? The People Mover. It was the one that where you got shrunk down.
Oh, the Journey into the
Planet, yes,
or something like that. Yeah.
Innerspace. Wait, no, that's a movie.
You know, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So all of a sudden it was like, okay, we're really dialing in onto like space now, because Tomorrowland was initially just the future of Earth and agriculture and stuff like that. Then it became a whole like, we're going to outer space. This is the future. Like,
yeah.
JFK, we chose to go to the moon, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You had rockets being built. You had all this cool stuff, and it was awe-inspiring. And it was Walt's sort of vision of like the whole Epcot idea and like City of Tomorrow. And it was educational, but at the same time it was thrilling and fun. And then you had the whole like America Sings thing, where it talks about the progress of,
yeah,
America.
Different music from different, yeah.
Then you had the Matterhorn. Now, that sounds crazy. Here's the thing. Matterhorn wasn't originally a Fantasyland ride.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Matterhorn was a Tomorrowland ride. Why? I still don't understand.
We only dared to dream to climb that thing.
And Yetis are futuristic.
They are. They are.
But that's why if you go on the Matterhorn... A lot of people, again, because Disneyland seems, these are overlooked things, and so they're interesting. If you go on the bobsleds, or it has two names, it's weird.
The toboggans.
If you go on the Matterhorn, the line splits into two at one point. There's a right and the left. The right side is known as the Tomorrowland side, the left side is known as the Fantasyland side.
Oh, that's weird.
But workers are not supposed to talk about it. The Tomorrowland side is a shorter ride, it's faster, and it hurts more.
Okay, so that's why I always felt like, yeah, okay.
The left side...
It's smooth.
It's a little smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not down for thrilling speed...
And your back, I'm feeling like it's getting fucking destroyed.
I mean, it still was fast. Well, the other thing is that they changed out the sled. The sled. No, they changed out the sled.
The sled.
Before it was like the... two per thing, and like you get wrap your legs around the person.
Yes.
Now it's like everyone gets their own seat.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. But yeah, it's kind of weird. But that is originally a Tomorrowland ride, and now it's not. And I'm happy about that.
So let's talk about Star Tours.
But, Star Tours. So this is during the 80s when they started. Because again, this happens in Tomorrowland every goddamn time. This is the only land at Disneyland, because it's based on the future, you have to keep innovating or keeping people excited. Because 60s hits, huge success, everyone loves it. Well, then, oh no. Well, Space Race is kind of ending, and yeah, no one cares anymore, and like, this is boring, what are we going to do? Well, what they did in the 70s was they introduced Space Mountain.
One of the best rides in that whole park, by the way.
Also, the opening Space Mountain was one of the busiest days in the park history.
It's still always a crowded fucking line.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, in Disneyland tradition, something I always do whenever I go is that not only do I have to walk through the castle, right after the castle walk, make a right, go to Space Mountain, get a fast pass.
Yeah.
If I get there early enough, then I go on Space Mountain, but...
As Ric Flair says, oldest ride, longest line. Not true at all, but I
think he's talking about himself.
He's talking about his
yes,
penis. His dick.
But yeah, so it's interesting. So what happened was in the 80s, again, after Space Mountain, the hype died down. They removed some attractions. They put in new ones that no one really cared about. After that, well, what the hell are we going to do? Well... Let's start licensing stuff.
Yeah.
And so they bring in Star Wars with George Lucas.
And they also had Indiana Jones in it.
That's later. Yeah. That was in the 90s. This is during the Eisner era.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Star Tours comes in. Huge success. Star Wars is mega popular at the time.
Still is.
And, you know, now it's even more popular, I'd argue.
More people exist to watch it.
So... Now we have this point where, okay, so what Tomorrowland is at this weird transition stage where it doesn't know what the hell it's supposed to be. Is it the world of tomorrow? Is it like a Star Wars land? People were afraid back then, like, oh, it's going to become, everything's going to be Star Wars only. It's like, and there's that fear, well, that fear kind of is back today. Well, yeah. But now it's kind of been assuaged by the fact that, no, it's getting its own land. So there's this thing that happens between, like, the mid-80s to 1997, where Tomorrowland kind of becomes a shithole.
Oh, yeah?
It's a broken concept because, no, like, they're not really innovating anymore at Tomorrowland. They're closing down a bunch of stuff. It's just kind of that place where, hey, it kind of looks futuristic and they got a Star Wars thing in Space Mountain. But other than that, like, no one cares anymore. Like attendance is great, Disneyland and everything. Disneyland was almost bought out. That's what Michael Eisner snipped in. And that there was a horrible shit that happened. Shit sort of happened, but that's for another time. So here's the thing. You need to make it more futuristic. You have to do progress. So this is the... This is such shit, what happened. 1998, we're introduced to new Tomorrowland. This is the golden of facade of Tomorrowland that there's little bits of it left, if you look carefully.
Yeah, I remember this was a big selling point because they had commercials for it and everything on TV.
I went to the opening of that.
Okay.
It was, oh my God, it was a fucking nightmare.
So what happened?
Everything was like golden... steampunk kind of HG, not HG Wells, Jules Verne inspired. Everything had a sheen of gold on it.
Like that kind of like bronze future kind of thing.
It was
thing.
Like a retro future, the kind of future I don't particularly care for. My retro future is like 60s Disney future. Yeah. But yeah, so it had all that, and then there was the rocket rods and shoes. So the people movers removed, and you can still see the tracks.
Yes, you can.
And they're not being used, of course.
No, I always wanted to go on, and it's like they were always...
I did. My brother Nick and I went on the rocket rods, and it was awesome. It was so fast, but the problem is...
They broke down.
They kept breaking down.
All the time.
They didn't break down when we were on there, because it was just beautiful.
Sad.
Yeah, it was so great.
And then...
Well,
that's when they also brought in Innoventions.
Yes, that's when they brought in that with that weird robot thing.
Nathan
That's
Lane.
When they repainted Space Mountain into this golden bronze ugly structure.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's also when...
It used to be like a white mountain, right?
Yeah, that's also when... And Autotopia is still there, of course. But that's when they
added that ball, I think, right?
Yes, the stone ball with the water shooting up. And the stone ball is still there.
Yeah. Don't go there, by the way. That place is gross. Kids are peeing in that thing all the time.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I've seen it. It's gross.
And then they removed the elevator to Space Mountain.
And then they added, like, this weird, like,
giant... I mean, the escalator.
They added on top of, like... They added, like, this giant gun that plays music.
Okay, here's what that actually is.
What is that?
So you know the orbiter?
Yeah.
You know the orbiters, the rockets that can go around circles? So that's essentially an update of that old... the old, like, orbiter sort of thing with the, you know, the classic-looking 60s rockets. That's a repurpose. That's a sculpture that's been repurposed from the parts from the original one.
Okay.
The gun on top is the original thing you would ride on. That thing used to move a lot and actually like spin.
I've seen it a couple times.
It doesn't anymore now. It's defunct. What they said it did was it sent a signal to outer space.
Yeah.
And
they added like a stupid rock concert there too, didn't they?
Yeah. Like, yes. Like the
a stage for them to.
Also, Tomorrowland... Well, now that's the Jedi Academy thing.
Yes, I know
Tomorrowland has gone through so many changes over the years. I mean, so the golden... That golden, horrible new Tomorrowland thing... Eventually, when Eisner left Disney... They quickly, like, were like, no, we're fixing everything.
Yeah.
So, if you go to Tomorrowland, there's still some remnants of the golden...
It's mostly just the track, I noticed.
Or it's, like, there's certain rails that are still, like... There's the telephone poles that are still there, the telephone, like, kiosks...
Yeah.
...are still gold. There's certain little things, but other than that, they've tried to restore a lot of things. Buzz Lightyear was added, because before that, it was... Some garbage.
Wasn't that the line for the... No.
No. That was part of a line, yeah.
Yeah.
For the Rocket Rods station. Buzz Lightyear's been added. They removed the entire... there was like a Mars exhibit.
Yeah, I
can't remember
that.
But again, Tomorrowland lost its identity. And it still kind of had... Tomorrowland's in a place where... I think once Star Wars Land opened, they could finally get back on track to like the world of tomorrow...
I feel like they're just going to get ignored.
Because that's the thing. Innovations became sort of a
Marvel...
It became a place to... Like, no, actually for a little bit, they started going back to the whole, like, we're showing technology of tomorrow.
Yeah.
They were doing that. And then the Marvel thing came in, and then Iron Man suits were displayed. And now it's all Star Wars. So I think once Star Wars Land opens, Tomorrowland can actually become focus. They can focus again on the world of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about Disneyland is, like, we can have episodes on each fucking park. I know this is Tomorrowland heavy right now because...
Because you love Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, to me, is... It's the notion that tomorrow can be great. It's the notion that, like, the future is awesome. Where...
Because I don't have much to say about, like...
It's not dystopian. And I... Like, as much as I like science fiction where it's dystopian...
You're over it.
When I come to Disneyland, I want to be fucking happy and full of joy. And that's what Tomorrowland brings. Tomorrowland brings, like, that promise of a great future. Even though right now it's, like, the promise of Star Wars and, like,
A galaxy constantly at war with itself.
Yes, and pizza. Here's some pizza.
That pizza's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the only two places, it's one of the two that sells Cherry Coke at Disneyland.
Oh, really?
That and Casa de Zocalo.
No wonder I like that place.
Those are the only places that have Cherry Coke. Anyone else? No, you're wearing a Pepsi shirt, too.
I am.
So
that garlic bread, the kosher, whatever, is great.
There's good places to eat Disneyland. Okay, but here, so those were the
not four. Not according to my comments.
Those were the four main things, right? Well, then... Of course, expansions happened. So New Orleans Square was the first one to be added.
Yeah.
And that was at the bend of the Tom Sawyer River, where again, the first paddle boat and hit, like, the first giant, you know, the Mark Twain.
Yeah.
That was the first built in, like, over 70 years. My dad years.
Fucking loves that thing.
It's all right.
No, you don't understand. He will, whenever we go to Disneyland, he will go on that
thing. He'll mark out.
Yes.
And then the HMS Bounty, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that thing in years.
That's, of course, that's the first ship of its kind built in over 100 years when it was created. Oh, that's
crazy.
And it was a full-functioning river. Tom Sawyer Island was there.
Do they still do Fantasmic?
Right now, no.
Okay.
But, again, Star Wars Land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, of course, is pissing off a lot of Disney fans.
Okay, so we had a professor that... Who's also a big Disney fan.
And she was also, when Small World opened, she was one of one of the little girls
that... They made her play a Taiwanese girl, right?
Something? They had the Children of the World, and they had this little German girl play a Taiwanese girl. Yeah. So, that, I mean, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
But, yeah, she knows a lot about Disneyland.
Yes, she's a Disney pro.
And that was one of the things I actually liked a lot about that professor.
Oh, yeah, she knew her stuff.
Was that...
And she had, like, all this cool nostalgia.
Go to Plan Zero. There's episodes where we talk about her. Yeah, yeah. But
the point. But her take on Disneyland, I noticed, seems to be, it should never change.
Then that's the one thing that I kind of was like, no. See, Walt's idea was that it should change. It should always adapt to the times. It should always keep moving. Progress is a good thing.
Yeah.
That was Walt's idea. And there's a lot of old people who are like, no, it needs to be like how when I was a kid. But that's the thing. As much Disney when we were kids was in the Eisner era. That's when Disney was, I'd say, at its stale. No, 70s might be the stalest. Our childhood Disney was good.
But that's the thing, that it wouldn't matter if it was in a shitty era or not, because we would think it's good.
Ours had an emphasis, though, on a particular new era, new area. But before that, Critter Country was also added. So, but New Orleans Square, though, was added at the bend of the Tom Sawyer River. There was the Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, the last two rides that Walt really had any hand in. Oh, no. Haunted Mansion, he had notes, but his brother Roy really took over on that.
Okay.
No one knew if Walt wanted it to be scary or funny. There were debates between Imagineers on, like, no, it's got to be scarier. No, it's got to be funnier.
I mean, I think they strike a good balance.
Yeah, they met in the middle. But what did Walt actually want? We'll never know.
Basically, it's kind of spooky up until you get to the end. Then it's like,
okay. Well, everyone's dancing and having fun.
But I guess that's, you know.
Okay, so New Orleans Square, like, because Walt loved New Orleans. And he loved that whole, like, the whole jazz thing.
Yeah.
So... If you want to be comfy in Disneyland, go to New Orleans Square.
I love New Orleans Square because you know I like jazz.
Yeah.
So, like, I always love going there.
So you can get a bread bowl. You can just sit down.
And if you ever...
Mint julep.
If you ever have a little extra spending cash, go to...
the Blue Bayou.
Yeah. Really good. Really good food.
But... Oh, then there's Club... Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
It's talked up so much.
I feel like it won't be worth. Okay, so
my understanding is the food's good, but, like, there's
it's the exclusivity of it.
Yeah, if you want better food, you go to, like, the in California Adventure, there's higher class dining establishments that are really expensive.
Yeah,
it's probably the best in Disneyland.
Well,
yeah.
So people that don't know what we're talking about,
Club 55.
In when you go into Pirates of the Caribbean, you might notice it, to the right there's the Blue Bayou, the restaurant. But there's like this kind of like this building thing.
Yeah, now they pretty much advertise it, so it doesn't even matter.
Oh, do they?
It's not really, because it was a secret for so long, but everyone knows about it. So now it's like, it actually says the thing.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. But yeah, and then there's like the Disney Gallery, and like, it's a cool, chill little place, but Pirates and Haunted Mansion are probably the two main days. Okay, after that, Critter Country opened. And that was, of course, during the Eisner era, when now it's like, let's Splash Mountain becomes a thing.
Yeah, which is still popular.
And we're going to have Thunder Mountain. We're kind of going over, we're kind of like...
Glossing over
Adventureland and...
Because it's like, you got Indiana Jones, which is a fun...
Indiana Jones, Eisner era. Ride, yeah. It's a fun, bumpy ride, but...
Yeah.
That was, I mean, there's so many rides to talk about. Oh, we forgot Alice in Wonderland or Fantasyland. That's another thing.
We mentioned that.
Teacups also.
Well, those are just fun.
Yeah, but then, of course, Critter Country becomes a thing, and there's the Country Bear Jamboree, which is gone now. There's a movie based on it.
Yep.
Replaced by the Winnie the Pooh ride.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I didn't like
Country Bears. Now, for our childhood, there came a thing called Toontown.
Oh, yes.
Now, it's not the Toontown of... You would think it's Roger Rabbit's Toontown.
It sort of is.
Only the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin is that. Instead, it's like...
It's like...
I don't know how to describe it, because it's like...
It's like they're trying to evoke... It reminds me more of a Looney Tunes thing than actual
it's
Disney.
Like old,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's like old school, like, Bob Clampett cartoons. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't feel very... It only
like
feels...
When you go there, they sell, like, and there's, like, anvils.
It also feels very 90s to me.
Yeah.
It's the part of Disneyland that feels kind of weird, because it's like... You can tell they don't upkeep it as much as the rest of the park. It's because
it's closed most of the
time. It's also way in the back.
Yeah.
Whenever it rains, that place
I don't even
floods.
Know where it is. I couldn't tell you where it is.
You've got to walk past at Small World. And then you go down this thing under a bridge.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But that's where Mickey's house is. That's where you can meet Mickey, yeah, like, all day.
And we got scared by him.
The animatronic Mickey. They recently updated the Mickey.
We were in his house, and we got to meet him, and we chickened out.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's, like, Goofy's Bounce House, the thing that's closed
now.
There's a Chip and Dale thing.
Donald had a thing, I think.
They all, a lot of things aren't open there anymore. It's just kind of there. From my understanding is when you get... position to work in Toontown, it's usually like the, like, just like
do what you're doing.
It's like the we don't know where to put you, so yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
It's Toontown. Forget. Wait, what does he say? There's a line in.
Forget
in
about it. It's
Toontown. Yeah, forget about it. It's Toontown. That's essentially what it is.
You know what? If it was like a 1940s, like a...
Well,
like
that's from Buena Vista Street, essentially.
Yeah, I know, but that was before...
Here's what I think they should do. I think they should just embrace Roger Rabbit and make that Toontown, like, a Roger Rabbit-based... But then again, you have Mickey's house and stuff.
Yeah.
There's none of that smile, like all that weird shit. my biggest wish is for them to just put up an Eddie Valiant statue.
In honor, friend to all tunes. Right?
Yes, yeah. Like God, that would have been so perfect. But of course, they're not going to do that because they don't give a fuck about Toontown. I really think they don't give a shit about Toontown.
I don't think
nothing. Like a lot of times, nothing is operating there. Do I like Toontown?
I like the idea of what it could
be. I'll be honest, I don't give a shit about Toontown.
No, neither do I.
Like, it's fun every now and then to be like, oh, shit, it's Toontown, but...
We went the last time because we wanted to do every single thing.
Yeah.
And that was the only,
but
you know...
It's Toontown. Forget about it. It's Toontown. Yeah. That's essentially what it is.
Jesus.
Yeah, so the park, it continues to evolve, and now we're getting a Star Wars Land, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, I have no reason not to be excited about that.
It's a Star Wars Land.
I love Star Wars.
But it's a Star Wars Land. It's like, I love the Star Wars stuff in Tomorrowland, but moving that to there and then almost having to, it's like, it's a win-win. But of course, there's
Disney. I'm just worried it's going to be disappointing. Like, I'm expecting rides. Oh, look, it's Admiral Thrawn's roast beef pies. It's like, okay.
Oh my God, I'm down for that.
This is not what I need to see, though.
I'm hoping because Stormtroopers already walk around Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
But there's going to be Stormtroopers and Jedi, and do you think they'll have a jacked. What's his name? Max Rebo. Who's the guy with the cafe in the prequels?
Dex.
You think they'll have his cafe?
I mean, sure.
They should.
They seem to be doing a good job of ignoring the prequels, though.
I believe they're going to have a cantina, though.
Oh, well, you got to have a cantina.
Like,
you know it's going to be annoying because they're only going to play like two songs.
I'm fine with that.
You'll get tired of it.
I know I won't. No, man. This is... But yeah, so there's that to look forward to, but the parks are a continuing thing of progress. But the great thing with Disneyland is that it's just... When you go there, just forget about the world. I mean, go get yourself a Dole Whip at the Tiki Room.
You love these Dole Whips.
Dude, there's so much to talk about Disneyland, but there's not enough time. It's just like there's so much.
This should have been a two-parter, to be honest.
It should have been. So we got a few minutes left.
Yeah. I'll read a couple comments.
Read your best two.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because, you know, we'll have it. You know what?
Okay.
I'd say next week maybe Disneyland Part 2, because you know today we really just talked about Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
You know what? How about next week is all comments.
Okay.
We have to talk about Frontierland and Adventureland. All
right, we'll do those that week which we missed and we'll
so
get comments.
So one comment. All right, one comment each.
I'll do my first one then. Hell on Earth. I mean, people that come here want to have fun with their families, so they created one drunken night in the back of a domestic sedan of some sort, or better fucking yet, a pickup truck. No one that comes here really wants to be here, at least no one over 12. At least they shouldn't. Who the fuck wants to hang with parents and Midwesterners?
Oh, shit.
I notice a lot of these comments I have really like to shit on Middle America and the Midwest. I don't know why.
There's this thing that, and I hate it about people from California.
Yeah.
Is that we think Disneyland belongs to us. Like, it's my park.
Yeah.
I don't like all these tourists and all these people from out of state and out of country.
I think it's awesome that people want to come.
Everyone can experience the magic. So, I mean, that goes to, the only comment I'll read then is Jim's.
Okay. Sorry.
James, the editor-in-chief and all that. I'll just read his.
Jeffy.
And it boils down to what this place is. And it's simply put, it's the happiest place on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, and I have so many comments that make the same shitty joke. Happiest place on Earth. More like saddest place on Earth.
Yeah.
So I'll try and avoid those next week.
But Disneyland will always be that thing. And we'll go into more next week. But it'll always be that place where, yes, it's expensive as fuck. There's no doubt about that. The food's expensive, and there's giant turkey legs and pickles. There's always those fucking pickles. And the popcorn, it tastes like what I imagine crack cocaine tastes like.
Really?
God damn it, you can't stop eating that popcorn.
No, it's
pretty good. So buttery.
The frozen lemonade.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's a wonderful place.
And the Mickey pretzel. You gotta get a Mickey.
It's a magical place. It's the Carnation Cafe. There's so much shit to talk about. But I guess next week we'll go into that. So Disneyland is pretty good.
It's all right for me.
Next week, part two, where we go into this episode was happy and fancy free. Next week's gonna have a lot of shit.
Next week's gonna be a magic mountain of a good time.
Oh, fuck Magic Mountain.
Obscure Gentleman fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.